50.
I want to speak for a few minutes about the events that are going on in Eretz Yisrael. I'm sure you've heard a very lot. I want to add a little bit. Members, I'd like to say to the concept of a Yidim Aaron, that when a terrible tragedy happens, even before one starts talking about why, how, what we should do to improve, there's an avoider of a Yidim. There's an avoider of silent, understanding that we do not understand anything, and that I have no musogim whatsoever of Cheshvin Hashemayim. But nevertheless, as you do in the days of the Chofetz Chaim, there was an earthquake in Japan, and he told the people around him that Shmuel was speaking to us. Kavachemer ben Mish, Kavachemer, when the whole of Klal Yisrael is in pain, we have to spend a moment to think, what are we supposed to learn, what are we supposed to be thinking?
Excuse me, one point.
Were you
Aaron
with
a private matter? Surely.
Yeah, but with evidence of soul, when a person has in pain, there's a concept of identity. There is a concept. Yes, even.
Yep.
There's a view of danger. Rishi Shapiro, the Exalted Baruch Hu, spoke about this years ago.
Go
ahead. He said that Klal Yisrael have become more and more institutionalized. And he explained himself like this. It used to be many, many years ago that every person would daven with his own nusach. Kimash Gesar Dola, Kimash each shaman had his own nusach. Kimash Gesar Dola gave his one nusach to all Christ. It was a time when a person would teach his own son privately. Came a Bishoah ben Gamla, and he set up a system of school. And now we've got to the stage where even if you want to learn with your son on Shabbos, there's obviously bonding. There was a time when people did chesed according to understanding, each privately, and still and surely to Shabbos and other organizations. Chesed could be institutionalized, and it's a good thing. Otherwise, Chesed would never have done it. There are many advantages that when we do something, it should be done on a kehillah level. Everybody should be doing the same thing. We should all be dabbling the same Shemona Esra. We should all be learning at the same times. But with the advantages come tremendous disadvantages as well. Because what happens is a person stops thinking for themselves, what does Hashem want? Even these new organizations, Rice and Sechta Dish, wonderful things. When I grew up, I used to go and then match the curtain in the evening. I see people who are chavusas for dozens of years. One person who's been there for 40 years. They had no program, could come every evening and learn what they felt was the right thing. And in his own way, that was a tremendous kiddush Hashem. That means with the advantages of institutionalizing everything, there's major disadvantages. He said that Moshe, even he spoke about the fact that obviously what happens is a person then doesn't choose how much he should learn, when he should learn, if he should learn, and these things have been a tremendous danger. Kavachim, it comes to such a thing that with a tremendous tzara in Klal Yisrael, a person can say to themselves, what are you doing about it? Well, my space, or somebody put out an organization, a letter, we should say to him, this to him, twice a day or three times a day, I've done what I'm supposed to, the Kehila said this, the Bob said this, the David said this, I've done what I need to do and nothing else. And that's a huge mistake. It's a tremendous mistake. Atzvokhu is speaking to us. He wants us to improve in some level. To say that I said it to him, whichever one it may be, and therefore I've done what needs to be, means that you haven't spent a moment thinking what's Atzvokhu speaking. And then says, that's the case, even if I was to say, or anybody was to say, what we should be improving, it would also be the same mistake. It should be really a person that's listening to what each person, what they need to improve. It's an avoid actual. If somebody was to say, I heard that somebody that I mean, heard that saw, stopped eating cake. And I was impressed with one that could, not that we don't put out such a letter. The person needs to eat cake, it helps them to learn better, done better, maybe that'll be a mistake. But he was thinking, how is saw in pain? How can I be mishtatef in the tzar? Again, if a person was to do that now, it might also not be the right thing. It's an avoider to realize Klal Yisrael is in pain. What does that Shvokh want from me? It's a very beautiful word in Sukhav Asma, Zichzad and Baruch Hu. It's an avtel, Pashas, a poem. We used to say this every year. It's a Chol, we used to say. Nosati lachem akshkul. The pasuk describes when Mashiach comes. Zater chenam tohu. Christ will be purified. Nosati lachem lev chadosh. I'll give you a new heart. Veruach chadosh shaitim bekirv lachem. And I'll give you a new ruach, a new spirit. Vasiloisi es lev levin mibusachem. I'll remove the stone of heart. Nosati lachem lev boso. And I'll give you a heart of flesh. The simple explanation is that when Mashiach comes, remember what I mean, then Atzvoch will take away from us the heart of stone, the heart of stubbornness, and give us a heart of flesh. A heart which is explaining what does Atzvoch want. That means it's a chisaron to have a leib oeven, and we're davening to have that leib boso as soon as possible. So Chavasimon said that on the contrary, well, the Pasuk is telling us that to survive in Golus, a person needs sometimes to have leib oeven. Sometimes the sorrows are so terrible that we have no choice but to be misbehaving by the fact that we have to move on. We can't. If a person starts thinking about what people are suffering today, it would be impossible for a person to continue learning properly, to daven properly, to do the mitzvahs needs to. Only when the Mashiach comes will that Shvuch be able to take away the heart of stone in order that we should be able to continue and be able to serve with the labor of our son. A person has to be misbehaving to what level the tsar is going on in Kali Yisrael, that if we did not have a leib oeven, we would not be able to truly continue with what's going on. So myself, even so, we should think to ourselves, what is that Shavuot saying? What can we learn? There's a few makulas I'd like to say, but myself, each person has to think to themselves what they think. There's a very ancient santo, Tukhet Rabelezim, which is not so well known. That in this week's parashah, Yishmol is called Yishmol, Kishoma and Kim Bekul Anah. Kishoma and Kishoma Hashem, because Hashem also heard. So yeah, the book of Rabbi Eliezer asked the question that if it's called Shoma and Hashem heard, it should be called Shmuel. Why does it say Yishmol? The book of Rabbi Eliezer, Tana asked me such a question. But lo manikar shmo Yishmol, she'os da kudish vorch hu lishmoya bekul nakas am Yisrael. Shmuel is going to listen to the Tfilis of Kali Yisrael. The reason it's called Yishmol in the future tense, not past tense, is because we're not referring to the tefillahs of Hagam. We're referring to the tefillahs that Klal Yisrael will say when Yishmol behaves. Mimash asidin, this is words of the Bid of Rezah. Mimash asidin, but Yishmol nasis ba'oretz ba'achis hayomim. What Yishmol is going to do at the end of days is going to cause something that is going to make us daven to the Shvuach on a new level. And that is why it's called Yishmol, all these Arabs. Descended from Yishmol have one tafkid. Their tafkid is Yishmol Yishmake. Somebody told me that he was in a shul in Ramot. Motzi Yomtev. He said the intensity of the tefillah there was greater, Motzi Yomtev, than ever he's ever been to any Neir and any shul. The intensity of the tefillahs. Yishmake. This is the avodah that Yishmol is coming here for. Yishmol. To change our avodah. And in brings this is in Perek Lamed Beis, Yishmakei B'yanim, I hope you can tell him. And in Perek Lamed, it describes a little bit what Yishmol is going to do. The 15 different things, the destruction of being onto the world. And Shlish Mecham Hashem Mahom, I don't have time to go through it, you can sit inside. But one of the messages, Yishmakei, that the reason he called Yishmol is to teach us that we're supposed to be davening to Akkadosh Baruch Hu on a whole different level. Another Nekuda, again, he's supposed to. There's no question that on every, not every person on some level, there's mushbach and kirchi beis agadi. Even the person who reads only the Kosher newspapers at the media, it is full of it. It's mamish full of it. People walk around thinking, we've got a wonderful army, we're proud of the army, and that's going to save us. Each person at a different level. And it's very hard to take away that machshava. A person relies on the fact we have best army, sophisticated army. And Shmuel showed us that that is a mistake, that they were blinded. How? We don't know. And the whole discussion, are they going in, what they're doing, what are they going to do, is continuing with this avod of Bechi Beis Miyadi, and Shmuel doesn't want this. And very similar in the Kudam, very similar is that we've become very complacent in Golus. There's no question about it, that most people struggle terribly to connect to the fact that we're Golus. People build homes, palaces, build. They're settled. And the truth of the matter is that it's a reminder that we are in Golus. The fact is that what went on is, or what's going on, it's going on. There's tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of hours ready after all that went on to demonstrate on their behalf. It's a pachat, and it's a reminder of Migdolus. One final point I want to make is that it all happened on Shabbos. It all happened on Shabbos. Magnus Chaim saw someone. So there are many people, when something goes wrong, very quickly they jump and they say, Stomitz Loshen Hom. Stomitz Loshen Hom. So that's how he writes it. So if you look in the letters of the Chofetz Chaim, he might every single time he writes, it's because of a lack of Kavod Shabbos. Shabbos is Kriyat Brocha. If something is going wrong, it's because of Shabbos. That is how he would write it. And it happened on Shabbos. And there's two, because when Yehuda himself writes, there are two things that people struggle with the Shabbos more than anything else. One is to be ready for Shabbos on time. Now we're coming into the winter. It's very good diet. It's Chofetz Chaim Shem Beilam. It's an amazing thing. It says it's your dua that the person is not in Gehenna on Shabbos. Even a Rosh doesn't live in Gehenna on Shabbos. It says from which moment does Shabbos begin? Chofetz Chaim writes this, Shem Zohar Kodesh. From the moment that he begins to get ready for Shabbos. It says if a person begins to get ready on Friday morning, then already from Friday morning they take him out of Gehenna. Because he's already got the Kedusha Shabbos from the moment he's making himself for Shabbos. And that's a tremendous avodah. To be ready on time for Shabbos all winter, a person has to have Shabbos in the Kriya Bracha. Not because he's talking on Shabbos about the Golem which is not matching, which is not suitable for Shabbos. The Yehuda writes that what most need anything, he says the Loshen, nobody is Bechal on Shabbos, you do it. Nobody does that. But speaking on Shabbos about things that I shouldn't, now that's the lesson of ancient, that see, the Chassidim writes that on Shabbos the Rishoyim are not in Gehenna, and therefore they go around the world like Mezikin, and they cause harm to those who are Mechal on Shabbos. See, the Chassidim writes that Loshen. So these are some machshavas to have, but the emes is that if a person leaves it as that and says to themselves, oh, so I heard what I need, it's a big mistake. Say a famous marshal, and when the person's in the airport and he's flying to Israel, and there's an announcement in the Brit. So he knows it's directed to him. If it's in Japanese, he ignores it, because at the end of the day, he knows that he's not going to Japan, he doesn't know Japanese, it's not for him. When the shofar speaks, he's speaking to those who understand his language. And if somebody doesn't listen, is saying that the Shvuch is not, you're not speaking to me. That's the mistake, that's the first mistake. Shvuch is speaking to us, we have to think, each person has to think. What he should be, what did that Shvuch say to them? Okay. On to people to Alocha. Then he says, Chazal say, Chai Vodam Rima, Vosag Yom Maisa, Maisa Vosa, Vosa Yaakov. Famous words, which many people say, that the person sitting at home, he says, when will I reach London? People laugh at him. He's sitting at home, you're never going to get there. The person's on the train, even if the train's going very, very, very slowly. And he said, when will I reach London? So then it has to make sense. It makes sense on some level. So the person says, when are we going to be like Yitzchak and Yaakov? And he's not doing anything about it, it's a joke. But if he's doing something, then he can say, when will I reach there? Meaning, this is where I'm aiming to get. I read a study, a very interesting study, that they were trying to see what's the best method to teach people a new skill. So they took two groups, it was a major study, and in one group they gave them a list of instructions. This is what you have to do. Obviously, this is a list of instructions. The other group, they gave them no instructions whatsoever. What they did was, they had somebody perform it in front of them. Modeling, that's the word they use, modeling. And they found it was over 450% more successful the modeling than the instructions. Because if you want to teach something new skill, you write a long list, it'll be very common. You might get it. It's almost five times quicker if you model it. And I saw the study, I straight away thought to myself, the Chazal say that the stories of Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov, that the Sichas Abdei Obois is more than the Tiras and Shalbonim. As the Torah is very, very marich about the stories of Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov, because the Torah wants us to be modeling. Who's our models? Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov. So therefore, of course, there's instructions in the Torah. Be sigzog. That's written very, very short. But the stories of the Avraham are written very, very long, because this is what we're going to look up to. It's well known that it's Sefer Tachdamah to Bereishis. It says that Chazal called Bereishis Sefer HaYosho. Why is Bereishis called Sefer HaYosho? Because there was nobody more yashristic than Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And when Chazal say, Mosei Agir Maisa and Maisa Avoisa, included in that is the avoida of simply being yashristic. And that's many other אני יודע, זה סטורי, אני לא חושב את הסופר שם. לך שצבע שחומוס, אך שאתה מנכת עם זרדין, אבל על חומוס, then you have נעבור מובילו, אבל ילך עם העשור, ואז she says, he went back to pay back his debts, different explanations, he stayed in the same hotels, even though the first time he went, he was very poor, the second time he was very wealthy, to show that if you go to a place, you don't leave it, to repay his debt. A lot of, all the story with the Melech Stoin, Mechutu Atzorich Nam, the Yashus of Monsuch and Yaakov, that is what we're supposed to learn, that's why it's called Seifa Yosho. Seifa Yosho teaches the Yashus. So I'm going to speak about the Alochus of Oino, trying best to speak about what's the Gem and Maisa more than the Sins. Okay. So there's Issa Oino, and there's also Issa Kukhdeva Stas. Many times people can sometimes make a mistake which we're differentiating the two. Even though they sometimes can overlap, they don't always. And sometimes having clarity can help. You know, Mosh, imagine I'm sending you my car. And I say to you, you should know. I made no profit, less than a deal. I made absolutely no profit in it whatsoever. No profit whatsoever. I bought it, I said, I'm selling it to you for $1,000. I say, should I make no profit whatsoever? I got it for $1,000, here it is for $1,000. And let's say the car is back and worth $1,000, but I bought it for $500 and I'm selling it for $1,000. Right? I mean, sometimes people speak in such a language. I'm making no profit whatsoever. Recently, there was a shy that somebody said, give me your property, I'll make sure it's always rented out. Things like that. But people speak grandiose. I'm making no profit whatsoever. Or similar, very similar. I'm selling it to you for $1,000. You should know really it's worth $2,000. Right? That's what I say to you. You should know my car's worth $2,000. I'm giving it to you as a metzir. Right? It's a different, similar notion. In all those cases, a person has not actually done a no. He's done a geneva status. If the car's worth $1,000. If the car's not worth $1,000, say no. It's geneva status. Now, so what's the nafkimina distinction between a no and geneva status? One very big nafkimina is that by a no, one can afterwards cancel the sale. I mean, you say to me the car was worth $1,000, and it's only worth $500. You're actually speaking bigger numbers, $10,000. Who buys a car today? Don't buy anything for $1,000. But my son, let's keep it simple. That if the car's not worth $1,000, then I can ask for money back. I can cancel the sale. You've cheated me. But you know it's a cheat. Gedeva Stas, you can't ask for your money back. Gedeva Stas, you know which one is Issa. But Gedeva Stas can't, it's not, the Mekach is not Chos. The Mekach is not Chos. It's important to me that you also should be aware that Oino does not apply to going on the Chalal Shabbos. It's very interesting that. So if you sell and purchase a car to a foreign marshal, and you sell it for £10,000, it's only worth £5,000. There's no problem. One's not, there's no issa in all by a goy. The kedeva stas there is. Kedeva stas is also by a goy as well. So you can't tell a goy, you just make a distinction. Kedeva stas is when I pretend something to be, but it's not true. Mm-hmm. No is when the price is not right. I'll give another distinction which is important to be noticed. Oino can be beshuking as well. Let's say it happens sometimes with antiques. Let's say I buy from you something, and afterwards I find out that it's actually very valuable. Neither of us knew. I didn't intend to cheat you, you didn't intend to cheat me. Or the other way around. I buy something, and afterwards it's found out to be much less. None of us had any intention to cheat each other. That's Oino. Oino is even Meshuyken, meaning that we can, the sale has to be cancelled. If you find out, you machriyev to tell the seller, let's you buy something or something. And afterwards you find out, it was actually worth much, much, much more. It was worth much more. And now you found out about it, you machriyev to go back to the seller and say, look, you know, this is what you sold it to me, but the mindset is worth more. That's an important distinction between Oino and Gedeva Stas. Gedeva Stas is when you say something which isn't true, you pretend something. And if it makes a difference whether the price is right or not. Or you know it's only if the price is wrong. So, I'll give another mashuk in the start, which is quite common. Sometimes in Arab, especially in winter, you go to a Shom Zohar far away. And then when you're anyway there, you go to another Shom Zohar. It is also a din to say to the person, by the way, this yakim specially for you. You know what I'd say? As long as it's going to start, it's also even by a such a thing. What would be permitted if the person would say, wow, thank you so much for coming. You didn't need to make all that effort. If you keep silent, you're okay. But to say that's geneva stats. Geneva stats is when a person makes.
Even if you want him to feel good. Even if you want him to feel good.
Yeah, it's a loss. If you're telling him that I came for you, that is awesome. It is awesome. to pretend that you want to buy something when you have no intention, or to pretend that you want to sell something when you have no intention. Sometimes a person wants to know the value of his house. So he puts it up in the market for sale. Or he asks people, how much should you pay? He had no intention of selling. So because he can buy it so much, it's good. So, or similarly, a person wants to buy something. And he goes into the shop, but he has no intention. If he has no intention, if he's trying to compare prices, it's perceived, but he has no intention to buy, it's completely awesome. That's also a musik we know. Similarly, if a person buys something with intention to give it back, this is quite interesting, especially when we were younger, we used to have the Argus Gemach. The Ramayis are like this. Bayid is 100% awesome. The reason why it's also Bayid is because, let's say, for example, you have a policy. You can buy something in my shop, 30 days back. If a person buys it, they'll ask you back. The shopkeeper would never sell it with that knowledge. No shopkeeper would ever agree. So in that case, it's a no because of the fact that some say it's a din mishur shlemi das, the exact issa is that is also bayid is left. By goy is more complicated because there are those can behold that shur shlemi das by goy is permitted. That shur shlemi das by goy is permitted. And if that's the case, that would be a shur shlemi das. If the issa is because of Gnevus Das, as we said earlier, Gnevus Das by a Goy is awesome. So by a Goy, you're being afraid as to whether such is permitted. By Yid, it's definitely awesome.
But come no, that is a possibility. But there would instead a risk because 50% of people would not bring it back.
I don't know if that would be a heter because the world is like this. If you would say to the shop, I don't know, maybe if the shop would say, I have no intention of buying this item, would you still allow it? If they say yes, that's fine.
A normal self-service supermarket, owned by you, and it's self-service.
Yeah, it's
not standing behind the counter.
Yeah.
So you walk in, you want to see what the prices are like.
You want to see the prices.
Today you don't want to buy anything. Right. What's wrong with that?
Right. If the shopkeeper, if this Chodeshim brings, there are three reasons why when you ask a price and you have no intention of buying, it is awesome. So it's first of all, you're wasting time, which is giving all this time. Second of all, sometimes when you don't buy it, what happens is the shopkeeper thinks the reason you didn't buy it is because the price was too high. So that makes you put the price down. But really, you had no intention of buying it anyway. And the third reason is it causes him pain.
In those cases, if a
person goes in, it's not wasting his time, it's causing no pain, as he's not even aware, right? You've got these big shops, you go in, as you go to Tesco. Nobody has any awareness. If you go there and you try and check out prices, nobody's aware, not wasting any time. And then they're going to put down the price, then it would be mutter. And if you have an English shop in that kind of size, in that kind of scale, then it would be mutter. But let's say you're going to, even if you're going to
An employee in a shop, he's not fellow boss.
Right, it's not causing, right, if you're wasting his time, then there would be a clear. Let's say no intention of buying, we spend 5 minutes with him, asking him about different prices. Mm. And then what happens is that person could be doing something else, could be stopping shots maybe. Yeah. So therefore, that itself would be the problem.
But the other problems are not. The other two are the reasons.
The other two would be okay, yeah. There's no advice there. The other two would be okay. The shop, the employee doesn't get
involved. Is there a 50% chance that the guy might buy it for cheap?
He said, if your person is comparing prices, I want to say one more word. I said this, it's all down the place. Once, like I said, there are four reasons. It's a very fighting demand from Marshall. Once, like I said, there are four reasons why Balabata lose the money. One of the reasons why Balabata lose the money. Is because they promise huge money to the stocker and then they don't give it. So Marshall says, why are they promising huge money to the stocker and they're not giving it? Marshall says, because they want to encourage other people to give it. That is a very scary Marshall
himself.
And that's a huge problem with these campaigns. First, has to be very careful that if you're pretending the Marshall, I say to you, if it's not really ashes, it's fine, it's wonderful, but they will not understand people promising money have no intention. They're doing it, you see the other things which Chazal talk about. You see that Chazal it is a mamash and ablo, that you're promising money just to be able to get it.
Sorry, Rabbi, did I hear correctly that you said that people on Mechal Shabbos?
Yes.
I know it's.
Yeah, that's what you're doing now as Mechal Shabbos.
Yeah,
because the Pasuk says, Reachon, possibly no, you said Reachon, friend, so. You're allowed to ignore to to overcharge. You're allowed to. You're allowed to. Yes,
it's possible.
Oh, I And he said, I think you're making an organization to help those who had cotes, stillborns. And Rosh Yeshiva said, better make an organization to help those who had babies, and then part of it should be to help those who were lost. It was very interesting that I heard this from a person themselves. And I understood from that that even when there's a Shas Tzor, it seems there was a number of them going on, a person has to sometimes focus on the Vachim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Start off the show very lot about the Tzal. I want to finish off with the Mishum Shepon Hersha. Very interesting Mishum Shepon Hersha. He said that in Shabbos a few times, Shammaz, Mishum Hashem 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 Hashem. But we say, Higdel Hashem Lasse Simonu Hoyinu Semeichim. Hoyinu Semeichim is past tense. It's past tense. Shem Shmuel Hashem is very useful for the Shemus. It says like this. The Goyim think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when Mashiach comes, they'll say, wow, look what HaKadosh Baruch Hu done for Klal Yisrael. What they will realize, but what we do realize, is Hoyinu Semeichim, that even in the worst of times, and even, he says, in the worst of times, Klal Yisrael have an inner simcha, which always remained with them. Why? Because he says, Higdel Hashem, the same person repeats it, Higdel Hashem, that's the same one, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always doing great things to us. And he says this in two ways. First of all, he says there's constant small miracles which we ourselves are aware of, and also the Korban of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He said the difference between Yid and a Goy is that it's a Goy thinks that when Mashiach comes, that is the only time that we'll have any sense of joy. A Yid realizes that even Mashiach's Golos and even Mashiach's Tzoros or Yidu Smechin, we have that kach to be able to be happy with the fact that we're going to show. Show me zecher to see. Show me. Oh,